In association with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, Sky presents Stargate, The Ark of Truth. The title sequence rolls over shots of snow-capped mountains stretching up to a blue sky. The film stars Ben Browder as Lieutenant Colonel Cameron Mitchell and Amanda Tapping as Lieutenant Colonel Samantha Carter. Also starring Christopher Judge, Claudia Black, Curry Graham, Marina Baccarin, Tim Guinea, Julian Sands, Sarah Strange, and Michael Beach. Beau Bridges plays the part of Major General Henry Landry, and Michael Shanks plays Dr. Daniel Jackson. The music is by Joel Goldsmith. Stargate, The Ark of Truth, is written and directed by Robert C. Cooper. Audio description by Tony Cook of the MCS Agency. A cluster of pine trees grow out of the snow-covered ground. In the far distance, at the other side of a deep ravine, there's a tabletop mountain with a village built on a spacious ledge near the top. A caption says, "Millions of years ago in a distant galaxy." A bell rings in a tower above a stone building where two people sit at a table on a balcony while another pours them drinks. In the street below, there's a market where people stock up on fruit and vegetables. In a cave, where there are various bits of machinery, books and candles, a meeting is taking place.
We cannot hide our ways any longer.
Nor should we.
The Ori have amassed armies and moved to destroy us. Everything we believe, all we are, is an affront to them. They will stop at nothing to destroy every last shred of evidence that opposes their fanaticism.
We have no choice. We've tried to argue reason.
We can fight. Use what we know to oppose them.
We are so few compared to them.
The Ark can change everything.
Is forced indoctrination really the answer? You would deny the Ori the very essence of self. It is no different than the murder they propose.
The only moral way to change someone's mind, make them see the truth, as you put it, is to present evidence.
We believe in the systematic understanding of the physical world through observation and experimentation, through argument and debate, but most of all, freedom of will. I will not compromise the fundamental tenets of my devotion in order to preserve it.
We acknowledge the incredible potential of the technology of the Ark.
And the danger such power presents.
It will not be used as a weapon against the Ori. The debate on the issue is closed.
A young inventor called Amelius turns and, looking disappointed, brings down the lid on the chest which houses the Ark. Now in the present time, a similar chest is discovered by Dr. Daniel Jackson while digging in the ruins of the planet Dakara.
Give me a hand!
His colleague, Tilk, steps towards Daniel and the chest, which is partially buried in sand. Tilk, a heavily built warrior, helps Daniel lift the chest. They carry it away from the partially demolished building and set it down on level ground, close to where their colleague Vala is resting on a stone slab.
You really think this is it?
Well, it's covered in ancient writing. These symbols here are part of the oldest dialect I'm aware of. It says, "Safely kept is the something of old."
What's the something, Daniel?
Well, if I knew for sure, I wouldn't have said this something. Why am I answering her?
Stop your yammering and open it.
We can't just open it.
Why not?
Well, if this is what I think it is, it's a powerful piece of ancient technology capable of making anyone who looks into it believe that the Ori are not gods. As far as we know.
Well, we already believe that. No harm done. Open it.
I said as far as we know. There may be other things it's capable of making you believe.
Maybe we're supposed to believe those other things, too.
You know, but that's beside the point. There's another reason we can't just open it.
Look at my hands, all right? They are raw and bleeding. I've broken every nail. We've been out here in the scorching heat for days. I haven't showered.
None of us have.
That is painfully obvious. Now, according to you, this crusty old chest is our salvation from oppression at the hands of the Ori army. Our best, and maybe, only remaining chance that we have. We've dug how many holes in the ground? Help me out here, Muscles.
Many.
Now, all the years the Jafar were here, they knew that Dakara was the first landing place of the Altairans in this galaxy. You mean to tell me they never looked for ancient artifacts?
There were a few artifacts that were excavated and cataloged when the city was being rebuilt. But with the constant change in leadership, little time or map.
Yes, and blah, blah, blah. But here we are. Finally, we may have found it. The ultimate weapon, so could someone please explain to me why we can't confirm our blessed fortune by simply opening it?
Because it's sealed shut. It literally won't open.
Why didn't you say so?
Well, I was trying to, but you wouldn't stop your yammering.
She grabs a pickaxe.
Wait, no, you can't do that. I told you this is a piece of technology. You could damage it.
It's been buried for millions of years, Daniel.
Quiet.
What?
Hey, kids, guess what? We are under fire.
Alien warplanes drop bombs. Ori soldiers fire from the ground. Supported now by Colonel Samantha Carter and Colonel Cameron Mitchell, the Stargate team exchange fire, using the stone ruins as cover.
I do not remember sending out invitations to this party.
The Ori soldiers outnumber them and gradually move in, dressed in armor and brandishing their weapon staffs that fire laser bullets.
Move ahead!
What are you doing? We have to go there.
We know.
There's too many of them. There's no other way out of here.
We know.
How about now?
Yeah, now works for me.
With a determined look, Daniel, who wears specs, hammers a chisel into the ancient chest. The commander of the opposing soldiers comes forward.
Commander, we have them trapped.
The commander removes his helmet.
Valor, it's Tommen. Throw down your weapons and surrender, and I promise you will all be spared.
That's funny.
I was just about to say the same thing!
Valor, you have to trust me. Your position has been targeted from space. Comply now or you will be destroyed.
I think we have to trust him.
Jackson.
What if we got them to open it? Well, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, would it?
Mitchell considers and puts down his gun.
All right. Invite him in.
You can come in.
Tommen leads his soldiers towards the team. He has a friendly face with a stubble beard. Vala fluffs up her hair and gets to her feet.
I look like crap.
The Ori soldiers surround them, brandishing their weapon staffs. Vala, attractive in her 30s, puts on a smile for Tommen, to whom she used to be married.
Hi. How are you? What's new?
Tommen looks distrustfully at Vala and steps closer, never taking his eyes off her.
What are you doing here?
Wow, we really are on the same page. Took the words right out of my mouth.
How did you know we were here?
The power of the Ori need not be questioned.
Oh, here we go.
A prior dressed in robes appears, holding a long wooden staff of authority. His narrow eyes scan the scene.
Tell me, what is this artifact you have found?
Hang on a second. Shouldn't you know that already? Your logic.
No, wait, no need to be difficult here. You want to know what it is, I'll tell you. Inside this ark is the secret to destroying the armies of the Ori. And I think the last thing you're going to want to do is open it.
You think I fear the contents?
I'm saying you really should.
Open it.
You didn't hear what I just said?
Open it!
Two Ori soldiers move towards the chest.
It's sealed shut.
Wait, no!
On a nod from the prior, Tomin blasts open the chest with his weapon. As Vowler tries to get a look at the contents, Tomin removes from the chest a scroll, which crumbles up in his hand. Daniel frowns.
Okay. Not what I was expecting.
Foolhardy are those who do not follow the path.
Anyone want to bet what he's going to say next?
Kill them.
Could have made money on that one.
Tomin looks uneasy.
Prior! I gave them my word. If they surrendered peacefully, they would be spared.
Your word? The word of the Ori is all that matters.
The truth is the beginning of the path.
Tomin, I grow tired of your questioning. Kill them now, or you shall burn in the fire of everlasting torment.
Tomin glares at the prior.
Don't do it. He can't hurt you, Tomin. We trusted you. Trust me now.
Fire your weapon!
You think he's testing you?
Really, he's forcing you to do it, because he's realized that for some reason beyond his comprehension, he's completely powerless.
Kill them! Kill them now! I command you!
Mitchell seizes a staff and shoots the prior.
Stop! Do not fire!
Colonel Mitchell slowly lowers the staff to the ground. Smoke comes from the hole in the prior's chest. While his men point their weapon staffs, Tomin looks puzzled.
How?
Here. I can show you.
Carter takes from her bag a circular object with flashing lights.
We use this device. Temporarily neutralizes their abilities.
Tomin steps towards the prior's smoking body. His men are still pointing their weapons. Later, the handsome-looking Mitchell walks through Stargate Command with General Landry.
According to Tomin, the Ori Crusade is planning to send a new wave of ships to the Supergate sometime soon. A coordinated attack on Earth may be imminent.
It's a little nonspecific.
And so I suspect the prior has released details on a need-to-know basis.
Shame you didn't find the real Ark.
Yes, sir. But not for lack of trying.
No other useful intelligence?
Well, at the moment, Tomin is coming to grips with the fact that he's devoted his life to serving false gods.
Oh, great. What does he want?
Who's that?
Come on in. You might as well meet him.
A man in a dark suit waits in the general's office.
General, Colonel Mitchell, I recognize you from your file.
Mitchell, this is James Merrick, IOA Oversight.
I'm a huge fan, Colonel. It's a real pleasure to meet you.
What happened to Woolsey?
Oh, his time is being taken up by the Atlantis expedition, which, quite frankly, I'm grateful for. It is a thrill for me to be here. You have been doing such an incredible job under such difficult circumstances. I don't think there's going to be much for me to do here other than stay out of your way.
What do you want?
I believe protocol requires me to notify you that I will be interrogating the prisoner personally.
What prisoner?
I believe your report refers to him as Tomin, no last name.
Oh, right, sorry, I get confused. See, we were thinking of him more as a guest.
Of course. My mistake. I trust the enemy commander hellbent on our total annihilation has been given comfortable quarters.
Yeah, he's had a change of heart.
Come on, Colonel. Don't all bad guys say that after we capture them?
Actually, he captured us. And then he surrendered. And my people have already questioned the man.
No, I see. Look, I'm sorry. I really don't want to step on any toes here. My superiors have asked me to prepare a report on this matter personally, and I don't want to disappoint them. You know, me being new on the job and all. You understand.
Of course.
Thanks so much. I can't tell you how exciting it is for me to be working here with you. Actually, I used to do what you do, Colonel, so I know exactly how it feels. I'm sure you know I'm just trying to do my job.
Thank you, Mr. Merrick.
General? Colonel?
Merrick leaves. Mitchell closes the door before turning to the general, now sitting at his desk.
He used to do what I do. What the hell does that mean? What's his background?
Former CIA, Black Ops.
Oh, great. So the IOA is having one of our own spies spy on us.
I have no doubt the IOA chose him carefully.
Why do I get the feeling we're going to miss Woolsey?
Tomin is with Daniel and Vowler.
The Ori are dead and gone.
As we said, we don't exactly know for sure. We know we sent a weapon to the Ori galaxy that was supposed to be capable of destroying them.
Tomin gets to his feet, wearing a fretful frown.
But not those that worship them.
No, not humans, just the ascended beings.
I know it sounds complicated, but the point is, unless we stop it, this holy crusade in the name of the Ori could end in a bloody mess for all humans.
A futile bloody mess.
And your hope is that this Ark will convince those that still believe in the Ori to stop believing as they do.
In ancient, it's called Armeria Verimas. Now, loosely translated, it means the Ark of Truth.
I know I have no right to say this. It just seems wrong.
Oh, hey, I'm not saying it's right. I mean, obviously, the Alterans didn't think it was morally right to use it, or we wouldn't be in this situation.
But compared to the bloodshed we may be facing...
We think the Ark may be capable of brainwashing people to believe whatever it's programmed to make them believe.
But how did you know where to look?
We didn't.
That chest we found was obviously not the Ark.
But still, you must have had some idea.
Daniel has a vision of a bearded man and the Ark, spewing bright light that explodes a mountain.
I've had the vision several times.
Daniel shared his mind with a former Alteran named Merlin for a short time.
His consciousness is gone now, but he was the one who helped me build the device that was sent to eliminate the Ori.
We hope. We think that these visions might be remnants of Merlin's memories left behind intentionally to steer us in the direction of the Ark.
And you think I'm crazy for believing in the Ori?
Not crazy, Tomin. Just... wrong.
You've both read the Book of Origin, have you not?
Yes.
Do you not remember the part about Ordis Malum?
You have to forgive me, I don't know it by heart.
Oh, big book with fine print and not many pictures.
Ordis Malum is the birthplace of all evil.
The passage speaks of a mountain that erupts and buries the place where all evil once sprang forth. I only ask because you mentioned a mountain that explodes in your vision.
A flashback to millions of years ago, in a distant galaxy, in his cave laboratory, Amelius presses buttons on the Ark, beginning to activate it.
Amelius, what are you doing? It's time to go.
I know. They have to know the truth.
They will find nothing. All will be destroyed.
As she gently leads him away, he turns back looking concerned.
My notebook.
He grabs a notebook filled with designs of a stargate.
I had the most amazing idea last night.
The Ark starts to rumble. Snow and rocks begin to fall away from the mountain. The top of the mountain shatters as a spaceship breaks through the surface. The debris destroys the village below. The spaceship zooms away from the mountain. Back to the present, Carter addresses the Stargate briefing room.
Well, we think we could use the ZPM on board the Odyssey. Unfortunately, it's nowhere near enough power to sustain an outgoing wormhole indefinitely.
I take it doing the whole Pegasus thing again is not an option.
The fact is, we were lucky to avoid the attack from the Wraith the first time. However, using the Odyssey, we believe we can beam four Mark IX nuclear devices strategically in between the Supergate's individual segments. Hopefully, undetected, they'll be triggered by any inbound gate activation. The resulting explosion should, theoretically, create a chain reaction that will essentially utilize the massive amounts of energy being channeled into the gate from the Dialing Galaxy to destroy it.
Don't blow it up just yet. We may still need that Supergate.
Dr. Jackson.
The Ancients didn't bring the Ark with them, sir. It's still in the Ori Galaxy.
Daniel exchanges a glance with Carter, out of uniform, her blonde hair in a ponytail. In an interrogation room, Marek fixes his papers and his microphone in a precise manner as he prepares to interview Tomin, who sits stiffly at the other end of the table.
Okay, then. I just need to get a few things straight here for the record. Okay? Shouldn't be that hard. So, you're a commander in the Ori Army.
I was.
Yes, was. Of course. So, your duties as a commander involved...
Following the orders of the Priors. Supervising the warriors under my command.
Right. Good. See? No big deal. Okay, moving on. In the time that you've been here in our galaxy, how many innocent human beings would you say you've slaughtered? I'm talking personally here. I'm sure you didn't keep a running tally, so maybe you could just give me a general estimate. Hundreds, thousands, more.
What do you want from me?
I just want you to answer my questions. I have quite a few. They cover things like your plans, your tactics, your numbers, training, anything that might help us in defending against an attack that you say is coming.
All that I
How many innocent human beings would you say you've slaughtered because they chose not to believe in the Ori?
Through a one-way window, a troubled Teal'c watches the interview. Mitchell joins him.
Where's Vala?
She could not bear to watch.
Do you hear the plan?
Toman wishes to accompany us. He believes he can help us establish contact with the Anti-Ori underground. It may be, in fact, the best way to figure out what Ordis Malum actually is.
Well, we can definitely use all the help we can get. Assuming, of course, the Ori are actually dead. Otherwise, it'll be a very short mission.
Indeed.
Mitchell enters the General's office.
General!
Colonel, I was just giving Dr. Jackson the good news.
The mission's been approved.
I thought it was already approved.
Actually, no mission is approved till the IOA officially signs off on it.
You've been given temporary command of the Odyssey for the duration of this operation.
Sir, does that mean I have to sit in the chair?
That it does. And I wish the fun ended there.
Sir.
Mr. Merrick will be overseeing the mission.
Personally, I'm excited.
Yeah, me too.
That's to be my first time on one of our battle cruisers. We'll see you on board, Colonel. Dr. Jackson, General.
Merrick leaves. Mitchell addresses the General.
Can I confine him to quarters?
It's your call, Colonel. One of the decisions those of us in command have to make.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
The General gives a half smile to himself as they leave. Mitchell enters the bridge of the Odyssey in orbit above the Earth.
Free flight.
We're ready to go, sir.
All right. Weapons to maximum.
Sir?
It's a joke, Marks. Make it go.
Odyssey leaves Earth's orbit and warps into hyperspace. In the dining room on board, Tomin stares out of a window at the hyperspace streaks. Merrick eyes him intently from a table nearby. Teal'c, with a gold medallion encrypted on his forehead, joins Tomin's table with a tray of food.
Nothing I have done since turning against the Gua'uld will make up for the atrocities I once committed in their name. Somewhere deep inside you, you knew it was wrong. A voice you did not recognize screamed for you to stop. You saw no way out. It was the way things were. They could not be changed. You tried to convince yourself the people you were hurting deserved it. You became numb to their pain and suffering. You learned to shut out the voice speaking against it.
There's always a choice.
Indeed, there is.
I chose to ignore it.
Yet you sit here now.
I sit here. And I cannot imagine the day when I will forgive myself.
Because it will never come. One day others may try to convince you they have forgiven you. That is more about them than you. For them, imparting forgiveness is a blessing.
How do you go on?
It is simple. You will never forgive yourself. Accept it.
You hurt others. Many others. That cannot be undone. You will never find personal retribution. But your life does not have to end. That which is right, just, and true can still prevail. If you do not fight for what you believe in, all may be lost for everyone else. But do not fight for yourself. Fight for others. Others that may be saved through your effort. That is the least you can do.
Tomin looks moved. The massive spacecraft Odyssey comes out of hyperspace and, against a backdrop of millions of stars, glides forward towards the supergate. Daniel and Carter enter the bridge.
Okay, I think we're ready.
Dial it up.
Carter takes the starboard station seat and activates the Stargate. Blue energy streaks through each component in the rim of the circular porthole. A glowing blue plasma fills the vacuum in the middle. Carter turns to Mitchell, who watches with folded arms.
Looks like we have a stable connection. What? Based on the intel Daniel provided when he was a prior, I was pretty sure this was going to work.
Yeah, I didn't doubt that. It's just, now that we're actually here, it's kind of cool.
Carter grins as Daniel looks on.
Take her in.
The Odyssey sublight engines activate, and the craft slowly moves forward into the active wormhole. The blue plasma reflects on Carter's attractive features, highlighting her blue eyes. Daniel's face and the rest of the bridge crew are tainted by the blue. All look enthralled as the Odyssey becomes submerged in the plasma, dematerializing the entire ship and its crew. At incredible speed, they're transported through the wormhole, like a whirlwind through a magical rabbit warren of glowing stars, space and time. Their destination, a planet in the Ori galaxy. Next, a street in a walled city bustling with people going about their business. The clothes resemble those worn in medieval times. In local costume, Vala and Daniel, who is without his glasses, sit at a table in a tavern. Daniel sees an old man with a beard at another table. He resembles Merlin and is staring at Daniel.
You see that?
What?
The image changes to an old man without a beard.
That old man? What about him?
Nothing.
Glad we had this chat. You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. In fact, I get the feeling we're on the right track.
Tomin approaches the table with a chubby-looking local.
This is Hurtis. Hurtis, this is Daniel. Bella, my wife.
Oh.
We are still married.
Talk about that later.
Tomin tells me you've not heard the rumor that the fires of Celestis have gone out.
Really?
I assume Tomin also explained that we're not from around here.
That he did. Still, I'm surprised such news would have spread far and wide.
You would think. But perhaps Tomin didn't explain exactly how far away we live.
The Priors have seen this as a sign that the Ori are not pleased.
They say our efforts against the Crusade of Evil are not enough. That we must do more.
As I told you, many more ships have been built. They are ready to embark.
Tomin also tells me you seek the true location of Ortis Malum.
We do.
I'm curious. What makes you think such a place actually exists in the real world?
You not believe all that is written in the Book of Origin to be based on some true historical event?
What I believe is not the issue.
You want me to tell you what I believe?
No. I want you to prove it.
Well, that we can do.
Next, Hurtis is staring from a window on board the Odyssey at his planet below. Nonplussed, he turns around to the others.
There are ruins of a village high in the mountains that border the plains of Celestis.
That is believed to be the location the Book of Origin references as the birthplace of evil.
Well, it makes sense. The Ori followers built their holy city on the planet where they believe their gods once triumphed over the Alterans.
Celestis is not on this planet, though.
You got us here. If we showed you a star map, could you direct us to the coordinates of the planet where Celestis is?
Domian nods.
We're talking about the Vatican of the Ori followers, right?
Well, if the fires are out, then it's likely Merlin's device worked and the Ori are dead.
But the Priors are not.
Well, we didn't come all this way to stop now, did we?
Many times throughout history, the ruins at Ortus Malum have been searched by both the Priors of Ori and those that believe as we do. We have long searched for the artifacts that would prove the truth about our past, our ancestors, and the falsehood of the Book of Origin. Nothing has ever been found there.
Well, that's good. Let's hope that means what we're looking for is still there.
Mitchell and Carter step from a lift into a corridor on the Odyssey. Marek stands blocking their way.
Why was I not notified that you had someone on board with new intel about Ori Army activity?
Well, I'm sure I called for you. There was no answer. Oh, wait. I may have not pressed the comm button all the way down. Wow, I must look stupid standing there talking to myself. Anyway, if you'll excuse us.
Colonel, I'm sure I don't need to remind you about protocol.
We are all going to find the Ark, Mr. Merrick. It's just too late for you not to join us.
You were granted the use of this ship, the most valuable asset Earth currently has at its disposal, to prevent any further Ori ships from getting through the Supergate.
And that's what we're going to do.
Do you, or do you not, have reliable intelligence that more Ori ships are about to leave?
Stay out of my way.
Carter and Mitchell go to the bridge. Merrick follows.
Your instructions were clear, Colonel.
We're not there yet. Major Marks, new coordinates have been entered into the nav system. Take us there.
Yes, sir.
You have no idea how much time we have. I'm not going to sacrifice this mission, Earth, or our galaxy for some fool's quest.
Then replace me! You have the authority. Go ahead. Replace me.
Mitchell gestures to the captain's chair. The crew are all listening to the exchange. Carter glares at Merrick, who sneers and walks off.
You sure you don't want the chair?
No, it's all yours. Got your back, though.
Thanks.
Carter pats Mitchell's shoulder. Now Odyssey comes out of hyperspace and approaches the planet with a tabletop mountain where the village was millions of years ago and where the Ark was buried in the mountain collapse. The ship cloaks and the Stargate team, including Tomin, beam down to what is now a forest area.
Any idea where to start?
Not really.
The group of six spread out and begin their search. Back on the Odyssey, Merrick looks furtive as he heads to a door labeled Warning, Severely Restricted Access. He glances over his shoulder before using his key card to enter. Merrick heads down a corridor lined with pipes and high-tech equipment. He uses his card again to enter the restricted Asgard core room. He opens a side panel in the core, revealing a tray of glowing crystals. He removes a crystal and replaces it with a similar one from the pocket of the overalls he wears. The modified crystal has a computer microchip installed. He closes the side panel, activates the core, and studies his watch. Tomin stands on the ledge of the tabletop mountain, staring out over the snow-capped mountain range and the forest. He's joined by Vala.
You okay?
I was thinking about what this place really was.
Carter and Mitchell are searching. Mitchell receives a message from the Odyssey.
Colonel Mitchell, this is Major Marks. Come in.
We read you, Marks. Go ahead.
Sir, someone has turned on the Asgard core.
What?
Who?
You really need to ask?
According to the security access card that was used, it's Mr. Merrick.
The room is sealed and he is not responding on the comm.
It can't be shut down remotely. What the hell does he think he's doing?
I don't know, but we better find out. Jackson, Teal, we gotta go. Keep looking.
What's wrong?
Merrick's up to something. He's turned on the Asgard core.
That will alert the Ori ships to our presence.
Yeah, I think that's the idea. We got it. You guys, find the Ark. Mark, transport Colonel Carter and myself back up to the ship now.
Carter and Mitchell are beamed back to the Odyssey. Back on Earth, General Landry gets a message in the Stargate control room.
SG-3, sir. Transmitting from P6X-437.
On screen.
General, a prior arrived through the gate 15 minutes ago and immediately made contact. Not sure how, but he seemed to know we were here. Says he has no intention of harming us, just that he has a message to deliver to the leaders of our planet.
What is it?
Wouldn't get into it, sir. Says he'll only deliver it in person.
He wants us to let him through the gate?
Yes, sir.
And does he know this didn't exactly work out well the last time?
More for the prior in question than us, sir.
True.
He's pretty adamant. Says the message is key to human survival on Earth. Says he knows that we have the technology that can temporarily neutralize his powers.
He does he?
Yes, sir. Apparently word that SG-1 actually killed a prior is getting around.
Give us an hour to make the necessary preparations.
Yes, sir. Reynolds out.
On the Odyssey, Mitchell and Carter head for the Asgard core room, followed by armed guards.
Open the door, Mr. Merrick. Do you really think we can't bypass the security lock?
Answer me, Merrick. You have put this ship and everyone on board in serious danger. Look, you know that activating the Asgard core will alert any Ori vessel to our presence.
I assume that your plan forced me to take action against them. Carter.
Almost.
Carter bypasses the security lock, and they rush in. Merrick puts his hands up. Carter tries to shut down the core.
It won't shut down.
No.
It's creating something virtually. What is it?
You'll see. I believe it's almost done.
What the hell are you thinking?
Unlike you, doing the job that I was sent to do. Stop any further Ori invasion at all costs.
Well, how does getting us killed and this ship destroyed accomplish that?
Oh, I assure you that's not the plan, Colonel.
Oh, really? Because we're about to be surrounded by a bunch of Ori ships, so I figure we got two options. We can shut that thing down and hope to outrun them, or we can stay and fight and lose badly.
And that's where you're wrong. There are always other options. You're just failing to consider them.
Mitchell and Carter stare in shock as an object is beamed onto a plinth. It looks like a metallic scorpion. It's a replicator. It flexes its claws inside a protective shield. Back on the tabletop mountain...
Well, I hate to be the downer at this party, but this is hopeless. I'm not getting any energy readings, so short of literally looking under every rock and stone on this mountain, I'm not sure what we're supposed to do.
Vowler follows Teal'c's eyeline. He's staring at Daniel, who appears to be having another of his visions. Daniel sees a shaft of daylight which morphs into Merlin. The robed old man with a long beard and a scepter stands over a slab of stone before disappearing into the ground.
Or we could wait for Daniel to have another one of his visions.
Daniel steps over to the mossy ground where he saw Merlin and turns to Vowler and Teal'c.
Guys, I think there's something here.
Vowler nods. As she, Teal'c, and Tomin join Daniel, he taps on the large stone slab with his shovel. They push away the stone slab, revealing a passageway beneath. Daniel and Teal'c shine their flashlights into the opening. Vowler uses the light on her P90 weapon.
I think we're supposed to go down there.
In the Asgard core room on the Odyssey, Carter rushes to the intercom.
This is Colonel Carter. We need an ARG in the Asgard core room now.
Don't worry, Colonel. It's being contained by a force shield.
For now?
What are you, totally nuts?
My plan is the IOAs. In the event that the supergate on this side was impossible to destroy, a backup plan was devised. We knew we could draw the Ori to the Odyssey by turning on the core. Yes, we might lose an all-out battle with a large number of them, but we'd certainly be able to hang in long enough to get this replicator on board one of their ships, at which point, hopefully, we'll be able to escape. And since you were unwilling to even try to destroy the gate, you left me no choice.
We came here to find the Ark.
Nobody expected you to find it.
Excuse me?
The Ori ships are preparing to leave. For all we know, they're already gone.
Obviously, you didn't come up with this on your own. Who wrote this program?
Does it really matter?
A guard hands Mitchell a special gun.
The ARG won't penetrate the shield. When I shut it down, don't hesitate and don't miss.
I won't.
Mitchell aims with the anti-replicator gun. The blast has no effect. The creature scurries off through the open door, despite other shots at it.
Zats have no effect on them.
Neither does this thing.
You need P-90s. Don't let it get away.
Mitchell grabs Merrick.
How didn't it work?
I believe that particular susceptibility was programmed out of this version.
You slick son of... Why didn't you tell us?
You obviously had no intention of allowing me to follow through with the plan.
If we can't stop it, it will cannibalize this ship and start replicating.
I should hope so. And thanks to you, it's now the only way we have of infecting the Ori fleet.
And what the hell is the IOA going to do when the replicators finish with the Ori fleet and they decide to take a little trip back through the super...
Precautions to prevent that scenario have been put in place.
Self-destruct. You built in some sort of shutdown command into the programming.
I told you. It wasn't me.
Mitchell shoves Merrick into the brig and locks the door.
Sir, 12 teams of two have been armed and are searching top to bottom.
These things are crafty, Captain. They'll avoid any area of the ship exposed to internal sensors. They're small enough to use the ventilation shafts or to move through hollow walls, and it's only a matter of time before we could be dealing with more than one.
We'll find it, sir.
Carter, talk to me.
The Asgard core was designed to be very user-friendly. Whoever wrote this program didn't have to have an extensive knowledge of replicator technology. They only had to explain what they wanted to create, and the core filled in the blanks.
And?
Unfortunately, that means that the complete program exists only in the core database.
Which means that you have to leave the core on if you're going to find the self-destruct command.
If it even exists.
How long?
I don't know. I'm trying to narrow down the search parameters, but it's huge.
All right, look, just forget about the fact that we're standing here screaming and waving our hands at the Ori. They probably already know our position anyway.
All right, let's jump into hyperspace. At least the Ori ships won't be able to attack us.
Yeah, but they can track us in hyperspace, and we can't stay there forever.
Look, believe me, if we don't find that replicator or the self-destruct command forever, not going to be a big issue.
On the tabletop mountain, Daniel leads the way down steps into the secret tunnel. Their torches pick up the collapsed stonework and the debris that litters the tunnel floor. As they explore cautiously, Daniel gets a radio message.
Hey guys, Mitchell, we're going to have to beam you aboard immediately.
Wait, can't, not yet.
Yeah, well, Merrick activated the Asgard core, so we're expecting Ori ships around here sometime soon. Plus, we have a little replicator problem, so we're going to jump into hyperspace to avoid the bad guys while we deal with it.
I'm sorry, did you say replicator problem?
Unfortunately, yes, I did.
Major Marks, transport the team on the planet back up to the ship. As soon as they are safely on board, take us into hyperspace.
Sir, I'm attempting to transport the team on the surface, but the system is not responding. I've lost control of the ship's computer.
It's plugged itself in somewhere.
That was fast.
Well, it doesn't have much learning to do. Everything about the Odyssey and its systems has been pre-programmed into the replicator's memory. I'm attempting to isolate life support, navigation, and hyperdrive command and restrict it to the Asgard core. Hopefully, I can maintain some measure of control from here.
Right, I'm going to help find the damn thing.
In the underground tunnel, they wait to be beamed.
What's a replicator?
You do not wish to know.
Yeah, it's me again, your friendly neighborhood ship's commander. Looks like you've got a little more time down there. We're having a bit of trouble with the beaming thing at the moment. I promise you'll be the first.
Okay, so, onward.
In the tunnel, they continue their exploration, their torches penetrating the darkness, but their way is completely blocked by a wall of rocks. Vala to Teal'c.
Hmm. What do you think, Muscles?
Teal'c takes from a pocket of his uniform an explosive block with a detonator attached.
Wait, we can't. We don't know how stable this tunnel is.
Till we turn back then, Daniel Jackson.
Bombs away.
On the Odyssey, Mitchell moves slowly along the corridor, looking for the replicator. The lights flicker.
Sir, we have lost external communications array, and we are experiencing power fluctuations throughout the power grid.
A door closes on its own.
Yeah, I got that.
In the underground tunnel, Teal'c detonates the explosion. The explosion clears the blockage and throws up clouds of dust. With their powerful torches, the four trudge on through the debris in single file. They go through an archway and reach a large chamber, the floor littered with rocks, stones, and dead tree roots. Teal'c, who leads the way, shines his flashlight on a pile of boulders. There are traces of something hidden beneath.
Daniel Jackson.
Daniel steps forward to take a look. He crouches down, shining his torch. Teal'c removes some rocks, revealing part of a chest with an ornate lid.
This is it.
Oh, you're sure this time?
Definitely. We found it.
At the Stargate control room, the gate is active. General Landry watches as military escorts accompany the prior through the plasma in the porthole. The robed prior has a disfigured and closed right eye. The general stands behind him in the holding room and then paces around the bald prior, who remains still.
You demonstrate great courage facing me in person, General.
Courage is only required when facing that which you fear.
The flames of ignorance burn without pain. Beware the power, or it will consume you before you know.
You can skip the fire and brimstone. If you're here to tell me that you're finally coming after Earth, I already know.
It is not too late. Allow me to deliver the message to your world that origin is the way to salvation, and you will all be spared.
I have to tell you, even if I did let you have your say, I don't think my world is going to listen.
Then you are all doomed.
That may be so. But I don't think it's you that's going to do it.
I would not be so sure.
Really? What took you so long? Earth has to be the most densely populated planet in the galaxy. What are you waiting for? Sure, you've tried to warn us a couple of times, but come on, you can do better than that, can't you? We've been a tremendous pain in your proverbial backside. You don't really expect me to believe that you've just been saving the best for last, do you? What's wrong? You guys are never speechless. I tell you what I think. I say this move reeks of desperation. You're not all that sure it's a slam dunk.
Your defenses are no match for the might of the Ori, which shall rain down apocalypse upon
us. Right. Here's a news flash. The Ori are dead. We killed them. Sent a weapon devised by an ex-ancient through the Supergate and wiped them all out. These beings you call gods, the ones who lied to you, manipulated you for their own selfish, power-hungry reasons, are gone. And everything you think you're doing in their name is entirely without meaning.
I was wrong. You are not courageous, General. You are without reason. Your planet will burn in all the depths of darkness.
Well, we'll see about that. There is one thing I do know for sure. If we're going to hell, then you're coming with us. You go ahead and burst into flames if you like.
Landry walks away, leaving the prior looking arrogant and angry, his one good eye popping with rage. Mitchell is still searching for the replicator in a corridor on the Odyssey.
Sir, we think we've traced the problem to the rear auxiliary control room in your level.
Copy that.
Mitchell stops and listens. The replicator is climbing down a bulkhead wall behind him. He turns and shoots it with his P-90. It falls to pieces.
All personnel, this is Colonel Mitchell. Please report, I got it.
Oh. Now many more replicators emerge. Mitchell shoots and dives through a door. He continues firing as they become jammed in the closing door.
Hey, Sam, they seem to be living up to their name.
There's definitely more than one at this point.
How many?
A lot!
The door opens again and more creatures pour through.
The original is probably converted into a queen by now. The good news is that it's likely stationary. Other replicators will bring it raw material that it will then use to create new blocks. That's what you're looking for at this point. Cam? Cam!
In the tunnel, Daniel blows dust off the chest they've found. There's a dome on the lid with buttons set around it. Daniel pulls out his archaeologist's brush and sweeps away the dust.
Daniel, for goodness sake, stop fussing and just open it.
Oh, wait.
Fowler lifts the lid. Tilk pulls it fully open. The chest is empty apart from some electrical components at the bottom.
What was supposed to happen? Nothing. I don't think it's turned on.
Maybe it's broken.
Perhaps its power source has been depleted.
Well, it is millions of years old.
I don't think it's turned on.
Who turned it on, then?
Daniel closes the lid.
It has something to do with these symbols. They look like buttons.
Daniel pushes a button on the lid. There's a rumbling, and some dust falls down on them.
Perhaps we should examine it more closely on the surface.
Good idea! Cam. Cam, are you there? Please respond.
A group of replicators scurry past a closed internal door on the Odyssey. The door opens, revealing Mitchell, who activates his radio.
Sorry about that, Sam. I ran out of ammo and had to hide.
Copy.
Four Ori warships approach the Odyssey and take up positions around her. On the bridge, the alien vessels are spotted by Major Marks.
Colonel, four Ori motherships on sensors. They're moving to surround us.
Got it. Jumping to hyperspace.
As the warships start to fire, the Odyssey speeds away and disappears into hyperspace. On the tabletop mountain, the team set the Ark down on the forest floor.
Oh, Odyssey, this is Teal. Come in. Odyssey, this is Teal. Come in.
The team come under fire. Tilk is shot in the back and collapses. The shots come from the staff weapons of a group of armored Ori soldiers. The team take cover. Daniel and Viola return fire with their P-90s. Tomin, who is unarmed, picks up a rock. Viola and Daniel look to where Tilk lies motionless on the ground and exchange a concerned glance as the firing continues. As the Odyssey glides through the blue blur of hyperspace, Mitchell approaches Carter, who's in a corridor with Major Marks and Captain Binder.
I assume you haven't found the magic shutoff switch.
No. If the replicators are going to come after the core sooner or later, I don't know why they haven't yet.
Consolidating their numbers?
Whatever they're trying to do, eventually they're going to want to take total control of the ship. And in order to do that, they're going to have to get into this room.
We should stop them from doing that.
I've got people trapped all over the place.
Replicators have locked down most of the elevators and bulkheads.
Trying to restrict crew movement.
They've also shut down systems over much of the ship.
It takes a lot of power to replicate. My guess is the Queen has set up shop somewhere close to a main conduit.
Position all the personnel you have right here. Protect that room at all costs.
We should probably weld the door shut.
You won't be able to get out.
If the replicators make it into the core, it's not going to matter.
Do it. I'm going to go find the Queen.
How?
Like Grandma said, you want honey? Follow the bees.
Sounds like a good way of getting stung to me.
In his cell, Marek sits glumly on a bench. He flinches as he hears a clattering sound. He looks up and sees the outline of a replicator scuttling across the translucent window above his head. Looking alarmed, he goes to the locked door of the brig.
Hey! Hello? Let me out of here! Anybody? Help!
He glances at the window again and sees a hole forming as though acid has been poured into it. He stares in panic as one after another, an army of replicators crawl through the hole. In the forest, a scattering of Ori soldiers lie dead on the ground, their staff weapons beside them. Tilk is still lying motionless, but suddenly he jerks into consciousness. He takes his gun from his holster and struggles to sit up, his eyes glancing around looking for any threats.
Daniel Jackson! Well, I'm out there at.
He reaches for his radio.
Odyssey, this is Tilk. Do you read me? Odyssey, this is Teal. Can you hear me?
He struggles desperately to get to his feet and eventually manages to do so, only to stumble and fall next to a dead Ori soldier. He grabs the soldier's staff weapon and uses it as a crutch to get to his feet again. He props himself against a tree before painfully limping away through the forest where a mist is beginning to form. Five Ori warplanes fly over the wetlands towards a city on an island, the Ori City of the Gods. In the dungeons of the city, two soldiers drag an injured and barely conscious Daniel Jackson along a primitive grey brick corridor of barred cells. Daniel is thrown into one of the empty cells. A pompous-looking robed man with a bizarre high collar cradling his head walks slowly towards the cell and steps inside. His high collar forms into a bib on his chest, into which a jewel is encrusted. He's the chief prior. The two soldiers stand guard in the corridor. Daniel opens his eyes.
God. Your gods cannot save you now, Daniel Jackson.
That's just a statement. General dissatisfaction.
Still using the staff weapon as a crutch, Tilk slowly trudges over a snow-covered mountain range. Thank you. Vilk stops on a rocky ridge and stares at the wetland plain far below him in the distance. In the city dungeons, a prior stands in the cell occupied by Tomin, with his staff glowing and emitting a torturous, high-pitched buzzing noise and incoherent words. Tomin is trying to pull himself up onto a stone bench. In another cell, Vala is being tortured by sound. She anxiously grips the cell bars with both hands. The chief prior, with the jewel on his bib glowing, chants religious verse at Daniel, whose face is contorted with pain.
Enim lupentanum pravus intus. Enim lupentanum pravus intus. Enim lupentanum pravus intus.
On the Odyssey, a crewman is welding shut the door to the core room. Others secure a large weapon tripod on the deck. Guns and ammunition are being prepared. Binder leans against the bulkhead, armed and listening.
They're coming.
The captain joins the soldiers at their firing positions. Mitchell descends a ladder and opens an access door into the corridor. He looks around cautiously. He sees a troop of replicators making their way around a corner. He sneaks after them, his P90 at the ready. The replicators scurry into a cargo hold at the end of the corridor. Lights pulsate in the hold. The replicators head for a room off the cargo hold, passing neatly stacked barrels and crates. Pulsating yellow and blue lights are being emitted from this room. More replicators scurry away from the room. Mitchell watches from behind some of the cargo. He manages to see inside the room where the queen replicator is busily creating more of her creatures amid the flashing sparks of procreation.
Carter, I found it.
It's in an access tube off cargo hold 3.
That's good. Now get the hell out of there. Not yet.
Mitchell sees that the queen is linked to a power conduit in the room.
Destroying the queen will likely draw any other replicators on board directly to you. Not a good plan until we have the shutdown code.
Right.
Besides, they're not coming after the core just yet. When they do, we may need the distraction to draw them away.
Copy that.
Mitchell places a demolition block on top of a cargo box. He arms it, prompting a red light to flash on its top. He turns to leave the cargo hold, but sees Marek looming in the doorway, blocking his exit. He stares at Marek, who doesn't look at all himself. Major Mark studies a program on his computer screen.
This program is huge. It could take weeks to go through.
Skim.
What if I miss it?
It's a base directive. It's like the one that tells them to replicate, only this one, when transmitted on a certain frequency, will command them to disassemble. It should stand out.
Mitchell slowly approaches Marek, shining the flashlight on his P90. Marek's face is wounded and misshapen.
What the hell?
Marek walks towards him like a zombie. A replicator is attached to his shoulders, its tentacles gripping his bloodied neck and head. Mitchell fires at him to no effect. Marek grips the P90 and tosses Mitchell through the air and then throws down the gun. Two robed priors escort Vala into an elegant hall with walls and a floor of marble. She's led to a table where the Ark rests. Flaming torches burn in the hall. At the far end, there is an oval where flames lap around the Ori symbol. The priors bow to the flames.
So much for the rumors.
The grim-looking priors turn and walk out, leaving Vala facing the flaming oval. The flames morph into a beautiful woman in a red dress. She's Adria, one of the ascended Ori gods. She steps out of the oval porthole, with flames still lapping around her. On the Odyssey, a platoon of replicators crawl along the walls towards where the soldiers have set up their gun positions. They fire, shattering the advancing creatures. In the Asgard core room...
Oh, no.
What?
I asked the core to analyze the program looking for the shutdown command. It says there isn't one.
Well, can we write one?
Already started.
In the marble hall...
Good to see you, Mother. Or should I call you Vala? I believe you renounced our blood relation last time I saw you.
Seems you have no blood left to speak of.
You'll be somewhat satisfied to know that Merlin's weapon did work. The Ori were destroyed.
Really?
Somehow you and your simple human friends managed to destroy quite a large group of very powerful ascended beings.
Well, we're a very determined bunch. I always say you never know what you can do until you try.
I agree.
You don't seem too caught up about it.
No. The energy transferred to the Ori by their human followers used to be spread out among many. Now that I have ascended, I get it all.
If you don't kill us all first...
It's a shame I can't use your little discovery to convince everyone in your galaxy to follow me. It would be much more humane. Not as much fun, though.
Not wanting to give you any ideas, but why can't you use the Ark?
It's just not the same. People need to be convinced to see me for what I really am.
A spoiled brat with a god complex.
Now, Mother.
The Ark can only be programmed to make people believe what is true.
Once the Ancients have been destroyed, I will be a being of unchallengeable power, worshipped by all those beneath me. A true god by any definition, wouldn't you say?
Vala pats her hands on the Ark and views Adria dismissively. Still using the Ori weapon staff as an aid to his walking, Teal'c trudges over the wetland plains towards the City of the Gods. He's walking with difficulty. His face looks pained. He stares ahead to the city on an island in the distance before passing out and falling face down to the muddy ground. In the cargo hold on the Odyssey, the demented Marek advances towards Mitchell.
You know, I think we got off on the wrong foot.
Mitchell pulls his pistol on Marek, who throws him across the room before he can fire.
Ah, who am I kidding?
Mitchell gets up and slugs Marek in the face. Marek dodges subsequent blows, grabs Mitchell's wrist and squeezes it. He hits Mitchell in the ribs and grabs his arms. They fight until Marek throws Mitchell to the floor. He rolls out of the way when Marek comes at him again. Mitchell surges back and gets a few more punches in. But Marek seems to have superhuman strength and knocks Mitchell down again. The soldiers continue to shoot at the ever-increasing replicator numbers advancing on them.
Colonel, we're running out of ammo here!
Cam, we could really use that distraction now.
Cameron Mitchell is still fighting Marek.
I'm working on it.
Mitchell pulls out his knife and rushes Marek. Marek dodges the blade, grabs Mitchell's arm, and flips him to the floor again. Mitchell twists away and kicks at him, gets up, and they exchange more blows. Mitchell manages to plunge the knife into Marek's right shoulder. The knife attack seems to slow him down for a moment.
We're being overrun. You need to draw them away.
I'm on it, ASAP.
You looking for this?
Wow. Didn't I drop that? I don't suppose you'd mind flipping that switch and blowing us both up, would you?
Marek tosses the explosive block away and runs at Mitchell. Mitchell slides to the deck to pick up his P90. As Marek now tries to stab him with the knife, Mitchell uses the rifle as a bar, but Marek grabs it and throws Mitchell across the room again. Mitchell lands facing a replicator. Malik grabs Mitchell by the legs and drags him backwards across the floor. On the wetland plain outside the city, Tilk lies face down in the mud. The Ori staff weapon he was using as a crutch lies beside him. The wound in his back is visible through a hole in his vest and clothes. The ghostly hand of a woman in white is placed on the wound, and it seems to heal immediately. Tilk wakes up. He looks confused as he puts his hand to the injury he had. But then he gets to his feet with a new level of determination. He begins walking towards the city of the gods, and then starts jogging. Fowler continues her conversation with Adria.
Why do you need to take on the ancients? Seriously, how many human worshippers do you really need? Can't you just live with what you have and be happy? I mean, my own mother used to say to me, Vala, happiness is not something you can buy. Or in my case, steal. But I think the point is,
they are a threat to me.
I understand they don't even care about you. They saw the Ori as a threat and they did nothing about that.
That's what you chose to believe. They gave you the means to destroy the Ori. They'll stop at nothing to destroy me. I will not rest until they are all wiped from existence.
I wish you hadn't inherited my determination.
The flames intensify around Adria. She walks back into the oval porthole. Vala huffs in annoyance and then hears a rumbling sound. She sees some of the buttons on the arc dome have lit up. Next, the Stargate control room on Earth.
Sir, long-range sensors just picked up 7 Ori motherships exiting hyperspace in our solar system. I have Colonel Ellis for you.
General, we have visual of enemy contacts. They appear to be holding position, sir.
For the moment.
Yes, sir. Why do you think that is, sir? The weapons platform in Antarctica is incapable of defending the planet against 7 Ori ships.
So why are they waiting?
Yes, sir.
I don't know. Just be glad they're giving us a little more time.
Sir, given how seriously outgunned we are, I don't see how a little more time really helps. What could possibly save us at this point?
I was hoping SG-1 might show up at some point.
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you this much. We're not going down without a fight. Landry out.
The Odyssey comes almost to a stop. Mark stares at the control screen.
We just dropped out of hyperspace.
It's funny, I was just thinking we couldn't get any more screwed.
The replicators took back navigation and hyperdrive control. 4 Ori motherships just appeared on sensors.
The Odyssey is rocked by weapons fire that throws Carter nearly off her feet. 2 replicators drop from the ceiling. Carter picks up her P-90 and shoots at them. The Ori ships are firing on the Odyssey one after the other, but the shots don't penetrate the shield that's up. In the cargo hold, Marek continues to beat Mitchell, slugging or kicking him each time he tries to get up. Mitchell's face is bloody and his movements have slowed down because of fatigue. Marek grabs Mitchell round the throat and starts to throttle him. Mitchell manages to reach the replicator tentacle inserted into Marek's head and yanks it out.
Kill me.
Believe me, I'm trying.
They did this to get the self-destruct code.
What is it? Tell me.
I don't know. It's on the other side of the crystal.
A weapon blast shakes the 2 men apart. Marek steps back, and the replicator seems to be in control of him again. Mitchell grabs one of the live power conduits and pulls it from the wall. He stabs Marek with it, electrocuting him.
It's not over. Don't give up.
You're not, Merlin.
I'm here to help you.
Then help me.
You must find the strength.
Merlin sits a ghostly glowing figure near where Daniel lies on the floor in his dungeon cell. Daniel rolls over, exhausted.
No. No. No, I've had it. Man, I'm really not in the mood for games right now. You're not a figment of my imagination, and you're not Merlin. You're Morgan Le Fay.
You're delirious.
Merlin died. He didn't ascend. His consciousness left me. It's gone. The ancients must be able to see through your disguise. I know I can. I just don't know why you think it's necessary.
Merlin morphs into the glowing figure of a woman in white.
You were once ascended. You know how complicated it can be. Interfering with the lower planes is not allowed.
Yeah, I know. I did it myself more than once. Helping me is forbidden, and letting me know you're helping me, well, that's worse.
I did it once, and they stopped me. I was exiled for it.
Yet here you are.
Merlin saw the Ori for what they were. He knew they needed to be stopped. I was the one who prevented him from doing it the first time.
You kept him alive. You helped us find him.
I realized he was right.
The Ori were going to destroy the ancients. Now, whether they want to admit it or not, we saved them. I think we deserve the ancients' help in return.
So I believe.
Then help us.
I've done all I can.
No, you could do more. You could do much more, and you have to.
Not on my own. She's too powerful for me.
You mean Adria, don't you?
She took on the mantle of the Ori.
Yeah, I was afraid of that.
She has their collective power.
Then take it away from her. And not just for our sake.
I've distracted her. I've helped you when you needed me. I promise you, Daniel, I've done all I can.
No!
You need only use the Ark on one prior. The crystals in their staffs are linked to one another. It's how the Docei communicates with all at once. If you can turn just one of them, Adria's power will be greatly diminished.
How? How?
Daniel lies wretchedly on the floor of his cell. The woman disappears. Through the bars, he sees another visitor, a hooded prior who carries a weapon staff. The prior removes his hood, revealing himself to be Tilk. On the Odyssey, Mitchell shambles along a corridor.
Carter, I hope you can hear this. The self-destruct program is on the other side of the crystal.
Carter is busy firing at the replicators. Mitchell's face is badly beaten. He turns and sees Marek walking slowly towards him.
Ah, hell.
Mitchell pulls back the safety cover on the detonator he holds and throws the switch. The explosion engulfs Marek. Mitchell turns to run down the corridor, but he too is thrown by the blast and loses consciousness. In slow motion, he sinks to the floor. Hand tries various keys in the lock of a cell door. One eventually works. It's Vala, unlocking Tomin's cell. He's lying motionless on the floor.
Tomin! Tomin, it's Vala. Oh, no, come on. Come on. Come here. Listen, everything's going to be okay, I promise. Can you pull yourself together?
He nods.
Good. Now I want you to help me find Daniel.
I'm right here.
Daniel stands with Tilk.
You guys okay?
I don't feel very good.
Let's find the Ark.
Daniel and Vala help Tomin to his feet. On the Odyssey, Carter and Marx are still firing at the replicators. Carter plucks out the crystal control Marek had put in. Marx blasts a replicator that was getting close to her. In the corridor from the cargo bay, Mitchell struggles to his feet. He sees something arising from what should be Marek's dead body. It's a complex replicator, shaped like a human skeleton. It stands upright and starts walking towards Mitchell. Mitchell sees more replicators coming round the corner from behind him.
Oh, give me a break.
Carter flips around the crystal and puts it back into its slot before resuming firing on the replicators. With blood pouring from his face, Mitchell looks wearily at the skeleton replicator as it approaches him. Captain Binder and his team continue firing at the massive replicators heading towards them. The skeleton replicator raises an arm to strike Mitchell, but it suddenly stops and starts to disintegrate. The other replicators do the same. All over the ship, the replicators fall to the floor, crushed and inactive. The Odyssey is still under attack from the Ori. Carter rushes to the comms.
Shields are at 18%, hyperdrive is still offline.
And then she just suddenly disappeared somewhere as if she had something really important to do. And when I turned around, about seven symbols on the arc were glowing.
It was Morgan.
Is she helping? Because if she is, I don't understand.
Which seven symbols?
Well, you don't expect me to remember.
With a bit of two galaxies hanging in the balance? Yes, I expect you to remember the essential clue given to you by a powerful ascended being.
They were glowing for that long. It was more like a bright light. And when I turned around, I realized I was alone.
Which ones?
Look for you. One here, two here, two here, and two there.
Did they come in any order?
No, all at once.
Of course.
Someone is coming.
Okay, seven symbols.
Just make a guess.
Verimus is truth in ancient.
Good.
Daniel tries to program the Ark.
I guess not.
Tomin looks to the doorway and sees the chief prior approaching. Teal'c fires at him with his Ori staff weapon. The prior deflects the shot and uses his telekinesis to throw Teal'c across the room. Tomin is also thrown to the wall. The Ori ships continue firing at the Odyssey. Some of the shots now penetrating the shield. Mitchell staggers into the empty and darkened bridge.
This is Colonel Mitchell of the Earthship Odyssey. We surrender. Please cease fire. Repeat, we surrender. Sam? I don't think they're going to stop.
Not going to get the hyperdrive back in time. We can't take much more.
In the Ori Hall, the oval porthole lights up with flames again. The chief prior goes to one knee as Adria appears.
It's over. You can't win. There's only one path. The power and glory of Origin.
Daniel throws Vala a glance and diverts his eyes away to signal she should distract Adria. Vala picks up his signal.
Adria. I'm sorry. I wish things could have been different.
Me too.
So what are you going to do? We're obviously never going to agree. Are you going to kill me now?
Still lying on the floor, Teal'c reaches for his staff weapon. Daniel pushes the last of the seven symbols on the Ark. Adria realizes what he's doing and, using telekinesis, throws him against the wall. Teal'c fires his staff at the legs of the table, holding the Ark. It topples over and the lid falls open. Daniel stares in amazement as an intense beam of white energy shoots out, engulfing the prior's head. The beam passes through the structure of the city and up into the sky. The bright light reflects off the astonished faces of the Stargate team. The chief prior becomes enlightened. Another prior, addressing a congregation, also sees the light. The staff he holds lights up. All over the Ori galaxy, priors suddenly see the light of truth. The Ori warships stop firing at the Odyssey. A weakened Adria reaches out a hand anxiously.
No! You can't take away my power!
I think we just did.
You will all burn in the fires of eternal damnation.
The woman in white appears.
Not if I have anything to do with it.
You're no match for me.
I am now.
Adria looks frightened as the woman in white, Morgan Le Fay, loses her bodily form and launches herself as white ascended energy at Adria. Adria's eyes glow red and she bursts into flames. The two energy forms rush at each other and swirl in battle before both disappearing. On his knees, the chief prior looks somber and greatly moved.
Mea clementia, Dana Esto.
What? What did he say? I don't understand.
He said, have mercy. I was blind, but now I see.
Odyssey sits in space, surrounded by the four Ori warships. No ship is firing. On the bridge, Mitchell wakes up in the command chair with a very bloody face.
Sam!
Why did they stop?
I don't know. But I'm glad they did.
Mitchell slumps back.
Oh!
In the Ori Hall, the chief prior is on his knees weeping.
It was Origin.
What was he?
A keyword that activated the Ark. I realize while Adra is talking, the ancient version of the word also means truth in older dialects. I guess the Altaran that built it must have thought it was ironic.
You know, I'm starting to think that irony is very overrated.
Daniel nods sardonically. Later, at the Stargate control on Earth, General Landry and Teal'c enter the room where the one-eyed prior is being held. The prior is clearly not aware of recent events.
Have you reconsidered?
No.
Landry turns to Teal'c, who steps forward to the prior holding a staff.
I do not understand.
Take it.
The prior slowly reaches out for the staff.
We have something to show you.
Daniel wheels in a trolley with the Ark resting on it.
What is the meaning of this?
See for yourself.
Daniel opens the lid. The powerful white energy beam emits from it. The prior's staff starts to glow. Mitchell wearily sits up in a hospital bed trying to read a report. His face looks bruised and battered. In civilian clothes, Carter visits.
Hey.
How'd it go?
Worked like a charm. Daniel was right. The prior staffs did all seem to be connected somehow.
Within each galaxy.
Well, yeah, I mean, whatever subspace link connects them is obviously somewhat limited. Still, when Daniel opened the Ark for the prior that was here, everyone seemed to get the message.
The ship's backed off.
Yep.
Sorry I missed it.
How are you doing?
Yeah, you know, I felt worse.
Well, apparently when you're feeling better, the IOA wants to meet with you.
Really?
Something about an apology.
I don't know, my recovery could take a while.
Yeah. Not too long, I hope.
No!
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. I guess maybe that hurts a little.
I'll, let you rest.
She starts to leave.
Sam.
Yeah?
What's in the bag?
Oh, my God. I almost forgot. I baked these for you.
Macaroons.
I'm sure they're not as good as your grandma's.
Nice recall.
She leans down to kiss him, but stops.
Cheek okay?
Yeah.
She kisses him on the cheek before leaving with a smile. He takes out a macaroon, smells it, and puts his hand blissfully over his heart. In his Ori soldier's uniform, Tomin looks at himself in a mirror. Valor is with him.
You're going to make a great leader.
When I was being tortured by the Prior, the teachings of Origin gave me the strength I needed. There's still so many things about it that mean a great deal to me.
I don't doubt that there's morality and wisdom in it. That's what made it such a powerful lure for so many people. I think in principle, the idea of bettering ourselves and seeking ascension in one way or another is what it's all really about.
Muck just needs some revision.
Well, that's entirely up to you and your people. Though I might humbly recommend that the part about burning people alive for not following along should be the first bit to go. Perhaps throw in some colour pictures.
Valda smiles. Tomin stares at her, looking serious.
No, I haven't asked because I fear I know the answer. But now that I'm leaving,
I don't exactly know where my place is. But I hope it's here. I'm sorry.
I know I'll never make up for the things I've done. But I promise you I'll spend the rest of my life trying.
I know.
She rests her arms on his shoulder armor.
So will I.
I know I was the one who found it. I'm not entirely happy about the fact that we were forced to use it either, but I think it was better than the alternative.
No one disagrees with you.
But it is a very dangerous piece of technology to keep lying around.
It's out of my hands, Dr. Jackson.
Okay, let's say someone does figure out how to reprogram it. Or worse, let's say it falls in the wrong hands. It could be the most powerful weapon we've ever come across.
I'm well aware of the risk. So is the IOA. For now, the Ark is being studied at Area 51. That's all I know. I'm sorry, Dr. Jackson. I've done all I can do.
General Landry steps into a lift. Daniel sighs in frustration and walks away.
It's kind of weird not having a big bad guy to fight anymore.
Yeah, that's what we felt when we defeated the Gold and the Replicators the first time.
Well, Jackson and Bala took care of that.
That whole Ori thing was not our fault.
Just take the blame, you get used to it.
We played a big part in fixing the problem.
That you did.
There are still many planets in our gate system that remain unexplored.
Yes, let's see what mysteries P3K546 will hold.
And what treasure.
I'm sure something will come up.
Walter, hit it!
The team stand in uniform with their weapons in front of the Stargate ramp. The end.
No.